So, Hector.
What's up, buddy? It has been a while.
It has. It has. I have officially begun the descent into old man dadhood. I have traded in my little rally car for a minivan. It all goes down.
Man. My man went from too fast, too furious, to full-blown soccer dad.
To too old and too tired. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Breaking Down the Tape, where we are becoming more consistent again.
I like that.
I am Papa Smurf.
I say what I say, and I'm going to say, Zach, happy 3-year anniversary of Breaking Down the Tape. Now, we are a few days late. It was May 5th, the original anniversary. We are now on May 10th. But like we said, we're really, really busy. Happy anniversary, Breaking Down the Tape.
Yes, we are in our fourth season. This officially marks the start of our fourth season. I can't believe this is the most consistent thing that I've done in my entire life outside of football and converting oxygen to carbon dioxide. So that is pretty impressive. This is four seasons, and we've built ourselves quite the little loyal fan base. And I have to say, man, I'm happy of where we started. I'm happy of where we've come, man. It's been quite the ride.
Yes. It's great. And shit, we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, man. Yeah, a lot is the last time we talked, the Rangers were still in the NHL playoffs. Obviously, a little foreshadowing there. Some stuff has changed with the Jets. NFL schedule will come out. We got some Yankees to talk about. The Knicks are still in the playoffs, kind of getting close to flatlining, but we'll see how that goes. So let's get into it, man. I'll let you start off taking us around the world of sports.
Yeah, fuck it. Since you already mentioned it and they're the first one to get booted, let's just hit NHL where it's at. The Rangers were the biggest fucking disappointment. I don't even know what to say, man. I mean, we had the lineup, and I get we still had some camaraderie issues. You know, we traded halfway through the season, but it was a very talented squad, and it was very disappointing the way they went out.
Yeah, man, you go up 2-0 on the Devils in dominant fashion, not only just in series fashion, but, I mean, outscoring 10-2. I know I brought that up over the last couple of weeks, like, heavily, but you go up over, like, a crosstown rival, like, they play 30 minutes away from each other, and you go up 2-0 with a fucking 8-goal differential, and then you lose the next three straight.
Oh, no. Let's say it right. You get smoke checked, like just completely, like it was just a complete flip-flop of domination.
Yeah, it was bad, and you gotta understand, like, you win the first two games in Prudential, lose the next three straight, two of which are in the Garden, and then you win one, you force a game seven, and you just don't show up. You get smoked 4-0.
It hurts more because it's a crosstown rival, because you're playing the Devils, who although had the better record, I don't believe was the better team.
Not at all. You got Vladimir Tarasenko, you got fucking Patrick Kane, you've got fucking Kaapo Kakko, you've got fucking Igor Shesterkin, top to bottom, hands down, the better team, and you just can't put it together. I don't know what happened. You know, obviously the Rangers have mutually parted ways with Gallant. You know, I don't know if this is like a top-down thing. I don't know. There's a lot of people who are talking about, well, they made so many changes late in the season that there was no team camaraderie. There was no, you know, I can't put faith in that. I don't know.
I can understand just a little bit, you know, the last-minute trades, a little bit of maybe camaraderie differences or whatever, but the team itself wasn't changed. Like everything was. I don't even agree with the firing of the coach. He's only been there 2 years. He still had like 3 years on his contract. He just took you one step away from the Stanley Cup Finals last year. And because they have a bounce, your one way to save your ass is like, let's fire the coach.
Yeah, I think that's crazy. You go to the Eastern Conference Finals in your first year. You still go to the playoffs in your second year. Okay, it's a first-round exit in embarrassing fashion. But you have 2 years of playoff appearances, and nope, you're fired.
Not to mention, I think this year, or was it last year, they had broken the record, for, their previous record for, I don't know, if was it wins or points?
Points.
It was one of those. You know, like, come on, you're trying to find an out, and the out's always the head coach, and I don't agree with that. And you see that in all sports.
Yeah, especially the New York sports, right? I mean, we are such a win now kind of market, but that is insane to me. And look, was he the reason? Like, there were some things maybe he didn't adjust on in the playoffs. Fine, but we're talking about a dude who again had an Eastern Conference Final, taking the eventual Stanley Cup champions to six games in the Eastern Conference Finals last year, and then again making the playoffs this year, and apparently that's not good enough to secure your job in New York.
I mean, if you want to blame someone, let's blame our number one pick in Lafreniere not scoring a goal, an assist, a point, nothing in that series.
Yeah, just disappeared.
Like, just disappeared. What about Panarin? I haven't heard his name in a while. What about fucking what's the other motherfucker?
Who, Kako?
No, yeah. Not Kako. Fucking
Shabinajad.
He. Where the fuck was he?
Yeah. This was a tough one. This, and I agree with you. I hate saying it because I love Mika. He's my boy. But it was a rough series. It really was. You know, like I said, going up in that fashion, going down in that fashion. It was brutal. It was fucking brutal, and I don't know what the answer is moving forward. I'm not that deep of a hockey guy. I love my Rangers, but I'm not going to pretend to know what the way forward is. But I disagree with the firing of Gallant. I disagree with trying to pin that on him. But it is. What
I don't even know who would they put as the next head coach. Like, I thought he fit New York exceptionally well.
Yeah. Yeah, but this is what the Rangers do, man. Like I said, this is a very win-now fucking kind of market, especially in hockey. If you're not going to be in the finals every year, then you're out. Period, end of story.
And before we move on to the next topic, I was talking to our boy, Braden. Shout out to Noble Sports. Go listen to him if you still haven't. He's a huge Seattle Kraken fan and a huge Las Vegas Aces fan. Las Vegas fan, Knights fan. I said Aces. Sorry,
he is an Aces fan, but yeah,
he is an Aces fan. But and he was stuck. He was like, dude, I don't know who to root for. Do I root for Vegas? Do I root for Seattle? And I told him straight up. I said, look, without even thinking, just blurt it out your mouth. Who's your favorite team? And he was like, I have to go with Seattle. And honestly, I said the same. I said, look, my Rangers are out. I technically am not going to really root for anybody. But if I'm going to root for somebody, I'm a root for Seattle Kraken.
So I agree with that for multiple reasons. I mean, both the Knights and the Kraken are good for what I'm about to say next, but it's better for the Kraken because they are so new. If the Kraken were to go to the finals and win, especially if they were to win, but if they were to go to the finals, this is amazing for hockey, right? Like, we had the Knights in their first season make a deep postseason run. Now the Kraken in their first season are making a deep postseason run and a dominant one. They're playing great.
I think this is the Kraken's second season, isn't it?
Is it? I'm fucking
losing. I think it's because their first season, obviously they had to change it. Like, it the Knights, they made that run, and then they had to change the way they did the expansion and the picking of the. So I think, but still, within two or three seasons, you're making a deep run.
And same thing with the Knights. The Knights are back, still competitive, and they're still within their first 5 years. So I mean, this is good for hockey. This is good, you know, if we can keep getting expansion teams competing and shaking up, you know, the old dichotomies of hockey, then more expansion teams are to follow and more hockey is to follow, and that's always good. So
I told Braden
that's why I'm rooting for the Kraken.
Yeah, I told Braden I want one of them squid hats.
Yo,
I wanted one of them Kraken hats.
I'm about to go buy me a bottle of Kraken just to support. I know that the proceeds don't go to the team, but it's going to make me feel good inside to drink it.
Yeah, I'm going to stay away from the bottle of Kraken. I've had some bad experiences with that.
not feeling the dark rub. I can respect it.
Next up, we're going to keep it on a non-playoff situation. We're going to MLB. We got the Yankees playing right now. You said they were up, 4-0 on the Athletics. Yep. Like they're playing anybody strong. It's the Athletics.
Yeah.
Oh, down the verge of losing 30 of their first 36 games.
Yeah.
But the Yankees aren't playing well either. They're barely over 500. They're last place in the AL East. I'm not trying to make excuses, but there's reasons behind this as well. Out of our 27-man starting roster, 13 of our starters are on the IL. We just got Aaron Judge back. We're still waiting for Stanton. We're still waiting for Donaldson. We're missing half our pitching staff. We're trying to piece shit together. And we're still pulling out some wins here and there. We're still in close games. We just need to get healthy.
Yeah, for sure. Sorry about that. For sure. Look, we've talked about this before. Baseball right now doesn't overtly concern me. Like, I'm not losing my mind. I'm not stressed out. You know, I'd be upset if we lost to the Oakland A's because it's the A's no matter what time of the season. But 20-17 right now, it's still early in the season. I mean, shit, we're in May, for the love of God. We're in the early fucking parts of May. This isn't... None of this is that deep. So, you know, I'm hoping we can deal with these injuries now. I'm hoping we can get everybody healthy late for the season. You know, last in the AL East right now.
I think it's hilarious that the entire AL East is still better than the entire AL Central. Any team. The Yankees are last place in the AL East, and they would be first if they were in the AL Central.
Yeah, that nothing about that surprises me at all.
That's what shows you every team in the AL East is above 500. Every team in the AL still the hardest division in baseball.
By far. And look, like I said, right now it's just it doesn't mean much. All it means is that Houston Astros fans and Red Sox fans and, you know, all these wannabe fucking fan bases. You got the Rays talking right now. Everybody's going to chirp. Everyone's going to say something. Let's talk later in the season.
The fact that we're unhealthy, still putting up wins, still above 500, and this is great. The Astros and the Phillies, the two teams that were in the World Series last year, who are far more healthier than the Yankees right now, have a worse record than the Yankees.
Yeah.
But exactly. Yeah, the Yankees get bashed for being 20-17.
Right. That's all this is good for right now. That's all baseball is good for right now is trash can teams talking shit. That's all it is. Because real winning teams understand that nothing right now matters. Talk to me in the dog days of summer. Talk to me in October.
We'll talk when the All-Star break hits.
Right.
And like we've always said, Yankee season doesn't start till after the All-Star break.
Right.
As long as we're above, honestly, and we've always said it, division titles don't mean shit to the Yankees.
No.
They've won millions of fucking division titles. And they don't care. Make the playoffs and then meet us there.
Talk to me in the dog days of summer. Talk to me when the days get long. Talk to me when it gets hot. You know, talk to me when we're in football season and we'll go from there. Like, it just doesn't matter right now.
It'll be a completely different ballgame once we get our $165 million pitcher in Rondon back, Severino back, we get our bullpen back. We already got Harrison Bader back, and he's been tearing the fucking ball left and right. He just homered again just now. I have him in my fantasy lineup.
Yeah. Like I said, it's that perfect time for trash can teams to talk shit. Other than that, not worried about it.
But it is exciting to see baseball. There's a lot of talks about Shohei Ohtani's contract for this next season. They're saying he's going to go well over $500 million. They're saying destinations like New York. They're saying destinations like L.A. Dodgers. I'm excited to see where he ends up going.
Yeah, well, he's got to get out of LA, right? I mean, he can't continue to not LA. He can't continue to be over.
I mean, he is in LA. He's a Los Angeles Angels
of Anaheim. Yeah, no, I always forget where the fuck they play. Because I immediately upon saying LA, I automatically go Dodgers. But yeah, he can't continue to remain out there in LA, as I said the first time. he's got to go somewhere where his talents aren't gonna get completely fucked. I've heard a lot of rumors about the Yankees. I've heard a lot of the Yankees are selling Shohei Ohtani jerseys, you know, so I don't know.
I mean, he was a front runner when he originally came over from Japan. He was a front runner right. to go to New York. I don't know why he didn't, but it is what it is. Let him make his decision. It'll be good to see where he ends up. This season is exciting. These rule changes have started to grow on me a little bit. I still kind of have an issue with the pitch clock thing. I'm a little bit leaning more toward that the pitch clock is helping. Okay. There are some minor issues when it comes to guys trying to call timeout and stuff like that. But one of my biggest issues, even though I love seeing the amount of stolen bases happening, I don't like the amount, like the pitcher can only disengage twice before it's a balk. I don't agree right. with that.
Right.
Because then, you know, after you disengage twice, now the runner knows you can't throw back over or it's a balk. He gets a bigger lead and he could just take off.
Right. No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think there's, like I said before, I think there's definite pluses to it. I think there's definite minuses to it. I feel like it already puts the umps in a bad spot as well, because they're already so fucking bad that them adjusting to this rule change makes them look even fucking worse. Again, for me, it misses the entire fucking point of what baseball needs. I'll keep saying that. While I don't think it's a negative thing, I think it's not the fucking point, but it's led to some interesting clips on TikTok. It's led to some interesting and funny, you know, fucking internet clips of umps fucking up or
good. And I'm not gonna lie, the game is slightly more entertaining. I mean, they shortened the game by approximately a half hour. Mm-hmm. We're getting more runs, we're getting more hits. I do like the fact of the shift ban. I felt like the shift at one point was a cool thing to do. Then they over-exaggerated the shift and they were using it too much and they were hurting the game. Right. I do like the fact they put that shift ban. You have to be in your positions. It's getting more hits. It's getting guys that are pull heavy, like a Gallo or a Rizzo. Like Rizzo would be hitting like 220 right now if the shift was still allowed.
Right.
That man's hitting almost 300 right now.
Right. Which you're going to hear all the Yankee haters come out. Oh, see, they even admit the Yankees can't hit without a shift. Fuck off.
I mean, people are trying to put up that Gallo is better than this is an asinine fucking debate, but Gallo is better than Rizzo or Judge because he has more or the same RBIs as Judge right now.
The amount of debates that I hear from people are fucking asinine. Especially, like I said before, especially when it comes to baseball season this early. Oh, well, look, see, they're going to do this because, shut up, it's fucking early May. Shut up. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing of what you're predicting is going to happen. It's early May. Stop talking to me.
But baseball has been a very, and I just had the discussion today. Baseball is really trying to expand two more teams. They want to bring two more teams into baseball. They want one on the West Coast, one on the East Coast. And Orlando is making the biggest push. Orlando put a team together. They put a $1.17 billion proposal.
I saw that.
To build a stadium in Orlando. They're monitoring what happens to the Oakland A's. Obviously, the Oakland A's are going to go to Vegas.
Right.
And they want to put, they want to either bring a team to stop, you know, take over LA because they moved or put a team somewhere else. There's right. places like Tennessee trying to get an expansion team. Orlando already, like I said, proposed a stadium, which looks phenomenal.
I saw that. It was the founder of the Magic, right? It was the founder of the Orlando.
Something like that. Yeah, he was a prior GM to the NBA or something like that. He said two things. Either they're monitoring Tampa Bay, because obviously St. Petersburg, that stadium's trash. They're right. thinking of taking over Tampa Bay and bringing them to Orlando, or just getting a whole new team itself.
That'll be interesting. That'll be interesting for sure. Yeah, Chop
Kick. I'm 6 hours from Orlando. I will be there. I want to see that stadium. That stadium looks – that proposal looks fucking amazing.
Yeah, I saw that concept art before we got on. That shit was wild. Wild. There's like a giant fucking – ring of screen. It was a screen ring around the like upper fucking edge of the stadium. Like, it looked fucking wild.
It's connected to like it takes up like fucking three city blocks.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. We'll see what comes of that. It'd be interesting. I'd like to see baseball expand more.
100%. I can't wait till All-Star break comes so that we can shit on more non intelligent baseball fans.
Yeah, that always is fun for me.
Moving on to the NBA. And I know we said Knicks in six, but goddamn, did the Knicks just fucking fold?
Jesus. On life support right now. And look, now this is a Heat team that knocked out the Bucks, right? So it's not like we're losing to the fucking Devils like the Rangers did. This is an actual team that is competing pretty damn hard. And you got Jimmy Butler. You said it before, that Jimmy Butler is that guy that he's going to be hard to stop. But Jesus, down 3-1 right now.
Honestly, we should have washed them.
Yeah.
We should have washed them. We owned them during the season. We out-rebound them statistically throughout the season. We're a top three rebounding team. We fell right into Miami's hand.
Yeah.
Yep. But at the same time, and people are going to be like, oh, you're making excuses, blah, 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 blah. If you can't call the game straight, then you're biased as fuck. I will support my Knicks to the fullest. I will say they did not play up to par. They are not 100% right in what they have fault in them being down 3-1, 100%.
Yeah, for sure.
But it is totally different when we play two games in New York and it was called fairly. And I will own that we lost game one on us. We should have won it. We should have went up 2-0. That was on us. But the minute we stepped foot in Miami, it was New York Knicks versus Miami and the refs.
Mm-hmm.
Every single call went for Miami. Every flop, every bullshit call went for Miami. You saw RJ Barrett getting hooked by Bam Adebayo and pushed foul on RJ Barrett. You see Brunson getting shoved away so a guy can make a pop-up three, foul on Brunson. The calls were completely one-sided.
And I know, like, people can argue calls, right? Like you were saying, people say you're being a biased Knicks fan, back and forth, all you want. But a thing here that I always found interesting in this series is we're playing on the East Coast. Both the Knicks and the Heat play on the East Coast. It's a fucking two-hour flight down to fucking Miami. And for some reason, between Game 2 and Game 3, we need 4 days. The big part of the Knicks, like, chances and how they're better than Miami is their depth. The fact that you have that four day span in between completely kills that depth, completely kills any advantage that the Knicks had in roster depth over the Heat. And I just want to know why. It's not like they're flying to the West Coast. They're not flying to fucking China. You're flying 3 hours south. Why do we need four days for that?
And it blows me because, like, look, you just said it. To get to Miami, we got a four-day layoff. But we only get a two-day layoff to come back to New York and play again?
Yep.
We get 1 day off to get back to New York and get ready for game 5.
Yep.
How does that make sense? Because you wanted Jimmy Butler on the floor, because you wanted Miami rested to play the Knicks, because you know that if you did it the same way you're doing it now, off of just a day rest and game whatever, they had no shot. No shot. And like I said, every ref should be fired in that Miami series, because the minute we stepped foot into Miami, every single call went Miami's way.
Yep.
There is no possible way that in the third quarter of this last game, in the third quarter, we still had 8 minutes to play in the third quarter, and we were already sending them to the foul line.
Yeah. Yeah, that's – I don't know if I've seen that before. And again, I'll admit, very casual Knicks fan, very casual basketball fan, but I don't think I've seen that happen. Like, 8 minutes to go – And you're already sending people to the foul line. I think that's crazy. Crazy.
And it makes me even laugh even harder that Miami fans are defending this. They're quiet the whole series. The minute the series was New York Knicks versus Miami, you didn't hear a damn thing from any Miami fans. The Knicks were out there. Knicks was like, this is my prediction. Knicks fans were saying, Knicks are going to win in this. Knicks are going to win in this. It took for them to go up 3-1 from Miami fans to now come out and be like, oh, what happened? Oh, this is my prediction. Miami in five. Da, da, da. But where was your prediction before the series started? Where were you before the series started? When it was tied 1-1 leaving New York, y'all motherfuckers was quiet.
Didn't want to say shit. Well, because that's the way it goes. When you're not confident in your team, you don't have a lot of shit to talk.
And like I said, my theory is out there.
Yeah.
My theory is out there. My theory is that the NBA wants to recreate the bubble to show that it wasn't a fluke. They want Miami versus Boston, or possibly even Philly, because Philly looks like they're about to win this. And they want the Lakers versus Denver so that the Lakers can go and LeBron gets his fifth fucking ring. Because honestly, the way the Lakers are playing compared to the rest of these teams, nope, not Boston, not Philly, and not fucking Miami are going to beat the Lakers in the finals.
Mm-hmm. No, I look, man, I'd love to disagree with you, but it's hard. It's hard right now to disagree with that statement. It really is.
You can call me an angry Knicks fan. I just wanted the game called fairly.
Right. If we lose on a fair game, then we lose on a fair game. We'll take that on the chin. We'll move on. But having all the extra shit, having that 4-game gap to fly 3 hours, having, you know, all the bullshit calls, it makes it hard to fucking have any faith in the system. It really does.
And you know what? And I told some of these, my congratulations, your team's made it. You know, you guys got this series. Talk to me next year when we got the Greek Freak or Dame Time on our team.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about that.
There's a lot of talk about the Greek Freak might come to New York. They just fired their head coach. He's not 100% about staying with the Bucks. He's already said that he doesn't want to spend his whole career with the Bucks. He wants to venture out. Dame Time already said he loves New York and wants to be in New York. Even Donovan Mitchell hasn't signed an extension with the Cavaliers. He might come to – who fucking knows? Yeah. But I will tell you one thing. As much as I love Randall and as much as I defended that man – his comments after this last game was bullshit. His gameplay this last game was bullshit. And he needs to go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough look when you're losing the way you are and he's playing the way he is. You know, he really needs to step up. And I find it interesting. I'm not going to lie. I'm looking at ESPN right now. They have the Knicks by 3.5 with a 77.5% chance to win this game.
Because we're in the Garden.
Also fair. Awesome.
Because we're in the Garden and we're going to have refs that call the game fair.
Fair enough. Maybe I'll fuck around. Tickets as low as $203. Maybe I'll fuck around and show up.
My brother went to game three. My brother was in Atlanta doing some job shit. Obviously, he works for law enforcement and stuff. He was doing some courses and shit out in Atlanta. He got a ticket to the Knicks game, Miami game three. He left midway third quarter because he was like, yo, the way this game was being called pissed me off so much, I left and hit the bar.
Jesus. That's how you know it's bad. When a diehard Knicks fan is like, yo, fuck this. Fuck this. I'm out.
Like, I just wanted a fair game. Even us going to Miami, we were favored to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but when you have things stacked against you, it's kind of hard.
But that's my rant. That's my rant for the NBA. The Knicks, you know what? Our prediction, even though as Knicks fans, we're going to look for the best possible outcome, which is an NBA final. Ultimately, we did, because we're not Miami. We made our predictions before the games played. We said Knicks in six, and we agreed that if they get bounced, it'll probably be a second-round bounce. A first-round bounce would have been unacceptable. A second-round bounce shows progress, shows that we got what we need going, and will bring talent to us. So we predicted a second-round bounce, even though in our hearts, yeah, we want a finals, an Eastern Conference final, something like that. But we said it from day one, at least make it to the second round.
I got faith. We're going to force a game six. I got faith.
We're going to force a game seven. We're going to take this. We're going to go to Miami. We're going to slap dicks around. We're going to force a game seven.
Love it. Love to hear it. Love to hear it. So let's get into what this podcast is about, damn it. The Jets and misery. Here? Well, we've been taught about misery, so yeah, that's fair. Ooh, bring it out the I said what I said mug. I like it.
A 16-ounce can fits literally. Look at that.
Perfect. Perfect. Look at that shot. NBA or NBA. Woof. Let me fuck that up. NFL schedule gets released tomorrow, but we get some sprinkles of shit here and there. We got the Jets hosting the first ever Black Friday game against the Dolphins. Love to see it. We've got like what?
Yo, if they don't wear their black stealth on Black Friday, they fuck that up.
Got to.
They got to wear the black Gotham uniform.
There's no way they don't. Absolutely no way they don't. We've also got four games, two in England and two in Germany, going back to the motherland or the fatherland, to Deutschland, whatever.
Yes, you got Chiefs.
I don't remember what the game is. I'm not even going to lie to you. I'm not going to hold you.
It's
there.
Chiefs. Chiefs Titans, I think. I know it's the Chiefs for sure. They're in Germany.
I know that they definitely have a game over there. I just don't remember what the matchups are.
And I know the Jags got they got back-to-back London games. They got week four and week five. They're really pushing for the Jags to be a London squad.
I'm telling you, they've been slowly pushing that over the years. But their owner, I don't remember his name for the life of me, is really, I'm telling you, the Jaguars are going to be the first international NFL team, and it will be in London. I'm willing to bet some significant money on that because, the writing's been on the wall. We've always known what Roger Goodell wants, which is an international football league, which I'm okay with. That means more football. But the Jags are going to be the first London team. It's been clear. And I'm not upset about sending them over there. It's the fucking Jags, for the love of God. So is it really that bad of a thing to banish them to the island? No, not at all. Not in my mind, at least.
Honestly, I think the Jags playing in London, they'll win more. They'll probably win a lot more games. The Jags are going to be a really pretty good team this year. They got an offense. Calvin really is going to change that offense. Trevor Lawrence is starting to actually fall into place. You know, mm-hmm. He got weapons.
Still don't believe in Trevor Lawrence. Still won't believe in Trevor Lawrence. But we have clearly seen what Doug Peterson has done for his productiveness. We have seen what happens when you can build a team around him. He does play much better. I still will not have faith in him. But I will admit that clearly having a head coach that isn't busy touching underage girls. Just barely aged girls. Is pretty conducive to a decent football team. Now, whether that will do anything, I don't know. But I wanted to, you know, you were talking about they'll win more, and I kind of want to talk about that real quick if they go to London. What do you think the jet lag effect will be if, you know, if you got to go play the Jags, and even on a normal week, I'm not talking like you just played on Monday, now you got to go play on Thursday, you know, but I'm talking normal week of preparation, but you got that travel day or two to get over the jet lag. Do you think that's going to play, like, that home field advantage is going to play pretty goddamn heavily for them? Or am I just making a big deal out of nothing?
No, you're right. And this is why I feel like the NFL will never be an international organization. It's just too much time difference. And like, what's going to happen when, you know, the Jets got to play such and such team in Japan?
Right.
Like,
well, the way I've always wanted this when talking about International Football League. Now, this is obviously a massive expansion, but you have continent-based conferences. So you have the North America Conference, and that's all the North American teams, Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. Then you have the South American Conference. Then you have the Asian Conference. You have the African Conference, and you have, like, the European Conference. And those conference teams play mostly each other with a couple interconference games throughout the year, but mostly play each other. Then when the playoffs come, you have the top six teams from each conference play, you know, to be the top of their conference. And then you have the international playoffs, right? So your Frankfurt Fire, you know, wins the European conference. Your Japanese kamikazes win your Asian conference. That was bad. I'm gonna get canceled over that. But you know what I mean? Your individual conference champions now play the international playoffs to see who's the top of the IFL, the International Football League. That's the way I always thought it was cool. So you prevent the jet lag excuses by keeping those conferences playing mostly against each other. But then you come together.
But then once the playoffs hit, you know, you got more time to travel and stuff.
Right. Well, I'm saying once the playoffs hit, the first round of playoffs, you're keeping it in conference. You're keeping it, okay, your top four teams in conference, boom, okay, now you six conference champions, now you play each other, and now you can play it at a neutral site. We can, you know what I mean? Or we can, now you've got, like you said, more time for this travel around, you know, and you're not traveling crazy amounts. I don't know. Whether that will ever come to fruition, I think that's a baller-ass plan. I know that's at least how I would like to see football. You know what I mean? Is that kind of like giant international style conference?
Well, for what they got right now, I'm excited for the two Germany games. Excited for the two London. I'm pretty sure they're gonna have more than two London games, but the Jags have two London games. And another holiday they got first ever New Year's Eve.
Yes.
Game. I don't know exactly who plays, but there's a first ever New Year's Eve game. And they came, obviously, we always have a Christmas game, but the Eagles and Giants at Eagles for Christmas Day.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. That's going to be a good one. I'm excited for that matchup.
And I saw a little post saying there's going to be the first ever three Monday night games, like three games on a Monday night.
Yeah, I saw a tweet by Adam Schefter, I don't know, last week, earlier this week, that was talking about how, like, all the scheduling rules that we once knew are going out the window. Like, certain timed games are not going to be, like, company-specific, so that doesn't mean, it has to go to ABC or CBS or Fox.
I love that.
You could play on multiple, you know, one team could play on multiple Thursday night games. You know what I mean? I even heard rumors that the Jets are going to be getting the most primetime games since they've signed Aaron Rodgers. So,
well, goddamn time we get some respect.
Well, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is getting the respect. We have to earn the rest of it. So we'll see. We'll see. But like we talked about last week, man, I still can't believe that people are sitting here saying the 7-10 Jets with five different quarterbacks aren't worth at least three more wins with Aaron Rodgers. Like, that's all I'm expecting. Like, if people are like, oh, they're only going to go 10-7. Okay, fine, I disagree with you, but at least give me three wins with a four-time MVP quarterback, for the love of God.
Yeah, and obviously signing Aaron Rodgers made the NFL give us even – look at the – we don't know the exact scheduling, but they have released who we are playing.
Mm-hmm.
We have one of the hardest schedules in NFL.
Yeah, it's like a top 10 – a difficulty for sure.
We got to play the Giants, the Eagles, the Commanders, and the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. We obviously play two games apiece against our own division.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the Browns, the Titans, And I can't remember the other teams, but you got to play the entire AFC East, the entire NFC East, who last year the entire NFC East was like on the verge of making the playoffs.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I think we have to, we have the Falcons in there as like the 17th yes. game. Yeah, I don't remember specifically what it was, but it was like a tie. It was like a seventh, like the seventh most difficult schedule in the NFL or some shit like that. It's fucking insane. Insanity.
And I agree with you how the way they, a 7-10 team with five different quarterbacks with what, top three defense in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to give us a four-time MVP and you're going to say we're going to go 9-8.
Yeah. Okay.
It just does not make any fucking sense. You give me a quarterback that can just complete a pass, and we're winning 10 games.
100% agreed. I mean, look at Garrett Wilson's yak. It's absurd. And just get that boy on a slant. Get him on a, you know, simple curl route, something, and his yak is absurd. And now you got a dude who's gonna fucking launch nukes to him over top. Get out of here.
We haven't had a 4,000-yard passer since Joe fucking Namath.
Yep.
I promise you right now, Aaron Rodgers will have a 4,000-yard passing season. He's yep. already said Garrett Wilson is equivalent to Davante Adams.
Yep. Yep.
That's you add in people- a fully healthy Breece Hall, who they've said, we have to slow this man down. Because he's so far ahead of his recovery that we do not want this man hurt again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're getting AVT back. We're getting Mekhi Becton back. Now we've declined his fifth-year option, but
which is respectable. I 100% agree with declining that.
Yeah, he hasn't been healthy enough, unfortunately. It's just what it comes down to.
But and then we go out and we draft. I think that center is going to be our starting center by halfway through the season. I think that man is going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple DNs. Quinnen Williams, I think, is going to be what you saw last year from Quinnen Williams is going to be just the tip of the iceberg of what you're about to see from that man this year.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get a deal done. I firmly believe. I mean, he just had a child. You know, we'll get a deal done. I'm not that concerned about it. You know, Joe Douglas knows how to do his job. It took a little bit for me to believe that, but he knows what he's doing. And the Jets had the team last year to make a deep postseason run. I mean, we were what, like 7-3?
7-4.
7-4, 11 games into the season, competing for the top of the AFC East. You know what I mean? Like, this is a team that I'm sure my wife is snickering in the other room that does build me up every year, but we were there and all we needed was a quarterback. We got that now. We needed depth on the line. We had a good draft for depth on the line. You know, I've heard a lot of people talk about, oh, the Jets had a bad draft. No, they didn't. They had a depth draft. We had everything that we needed in starter roles, and they went out and they got depth. They went out and they got some of the most athletic people in this entire draft. Pure athletes.
I 100% agree with that. Everyone's like, yo, the Jets fucked this up. The Jets fucked this up. No, you're getting this wrong. Last year was the draft where we needed pieces, and we hit in every level. Mm-hmm. Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, you know, all the Sauce Gardner. We hit in every. This draft wasn't about hitting a top guy. It was filling in the gaps.
Mm-hmm.
And I obviously we wanted Broderick Jones. We bit our. We shot ourselves in the foot talking too much to too many people. Then we traded that 13th pick, even though we didn't want to Green Bay. That kind of shot us in the foot. But to take another edge, first of all, the plethora of edge rushers that we got, the way that Salah just cycles them through and they're completely 100% ready to gear in, play in and play out, because you're just cycling them in. Like, it's be very – we're going to have the number one defense in the league this year.
Yeah, I mean, you can always get after the quarterback when you have fresh legs. When on every down, on your major third downs, and you need a guy to step up to have your top guy fresh, because on first and second down, you spelled them with your fourth athletic edge rusher that's been getting after the quarterback, and now you have your top guys on the field who have a breath, because that's been the Jets' problem.
Knowing that Aaron Rodgers is not just – Aaron Rodgers does not turn the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was gonna giving say. Our defense time to sit there, have a cup of tea, talk to the fans, give high fives, sign autographs, and then go out there and dominate again.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing that people don't realize is, oh, well, you got one MVP quarterback, and you think you're going to fucking go out there. Well, yes, because it's not just about Aaron Rodgers' play, which obviously matters, but it's the fact that now the offense stays on the field more. Now that top three defense – that was a top three defense last year that never had a chance to breathe, gets to actually breathe, gets more than two plays off before, oh, interception, let me get back out on the field and run my ass ragged. Now we actually get a chance to slow the game down and control the pace of the game. Teams that win own the time of possession more. That's just the way it works. So having a quarterback that can slow the game down, control the pace of the ball, control it, it's more than just, okay, Aaron Rodgers can throw for 4,000 yards. Aaron Rodgers can get the ball where he needs to. He can throw touchdowns. Obviously, those are needed. But it's the other things that go along with this. That's why it's so big. That's
why
it
matters. The fact that we have a quarterback now that not only can complete a simple fucking slant route, but has – four times more touchdowns and interceptions.
Mm-hmm. It's big. It's big.
We're going to have a lot of bandwagon fans this year.
Oh, sure. You're going to see Jets jerseys coming out the woodwork. You're going to see all sorts of Aaron Rodgers Jets jerseys, for sure. A
lot of bandwagon fans this year.
For sure. What are you touching?
Sorry, that I was just trying to get my screen not to go dark.
I got Hector over here just touching buttons randomly. Fucking me up. Dad, we got
but comments yes, coming I'm, in on I'm very excited. I want to know exactly what the schedule is going to look like. About
24 hours.
And as long, honestly, barring any crazy injuries, they're also saying the Jets are in talks with the Giants and I think the Giants and the Bucks to do that you know, off season, you know how they like
team up like together. The scrimmages and shit.
The scrimmages and shit. They're in talks with the NFL to make that happen so they can play against the Giants and the Bucks. And it's crazy how, you know, usually we play the Giants in only preseason. It's like one every
four
or 5 years or so or something like that, where we play the Giants in the season. So we get to actually get that rivalry going again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to be a good one. I'm excited to see that. That's going to be a good game.
You know, the Randall Cobb signing, I know a lot of people had shit to talk about that. I had shit to talk about that too, honestly. I thought it was unnecessary.
I agree.
It was just, you know, you're getting Aaron Rodgers, his best friend. That's literally his best friend. And I'm not, like I said, it was unnecessary, but I'm not mad about it. You know why? Because we just got Mecole Hardman, and we know Mecole Hardman is going to see the field a lot and will also return for us a lot. Randall Cobb can help keep Mecole Hardman more on the field and can take away and we can use Randall Cobb as that return guy as well.
Mm-hmm.
And give Mecole Hardman that breath and let him be on the field offensively instead of having to just return, you know, punts and kickoffs.
And a big part of what Randall Cobb is going to do is slot. We lost Braxton Berrios. Randall Cobb's going to live in the slot, and having your slot guy be best friends with your quarterback, perfect. It's all you need.
We don't know what we're doing with Davis yet.
The top. You're going to have Garrett Wilson mid, Corey Davis thrown in the rotation.
We don't know what exactly we're doing with Davis yet and his contract. We don't know what we're doing with Mims yet, if he fits in the system.
Yeah, we're still holding on to him. I still don't know. I mean, I know why, but I'm surprised with someone who has not had the kind of production that he should have, and they're still holding him. I think that's wild. There's something there that clearly they love.
But we've said it before. He has all the potential. It just hasn't. And I think with Rodgers, I think Rodgers is going to be like, I want that man on the field. He's a possession guy. He's an anomaly in the baseline. He is a possession receiver who can take a hit with fucking Tyreek Hill speed.
Not, like, I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree. I mean, I wouldn't say he has Tyreek Hill speed, but for a big man, I mean, like we've said before,
he has four three speed.
He was, yes. He's what Seattle drafted DK to be. We had that prior to DK, and he just never panned out. So maybe this is Denzel Mims' breakout season. I wouldn't be mad at that. I wouldn't be mad at that in the slightest. I mean,
Garrett Wilson is obviously our true number one. Garrett Wilson is obviously our true number one.
Sure.
The number two guy is going to be King Lizard.
Yeah.
And then you slide in Corey Davis, who can do outside and inside. You put in Mims, who can do outside and inside. You got Mecole Hardman, who can be a running back, play outside and inside. And then Randall Cobb, who's literally there for a veteran presence, teach the offense, do special return kicks. And from time to time, he's going to be in that slot in key moments because that man gets open for Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, like we said before, you add in Breece Hall, you add in Zonovan Knight, you add in Michael Carter, you add
I like Izzy, that fucking drafted. Pitch running back. I think Michael Carter is gone.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of, like, talk about the depth of the Jets' backfield, and Michael Carter's number four. I think that's wild.
The fact that they dropped Carter under Bam Knight, and then this pit running back, I can't even say his name. It'll be disrespectful to get it wrong.
I just call him Izzy. It's easier that way.
This man is a monk. I've seen some highlights. I've seen some fucking stat lines. This man does not go down.
Yeah, he's got the kind of strength that'll get him through the line, and then he's got the kind of speed that he can score from anywhere on a football field. If you get this kid two steps into the open field, you better pray Tyreek Hill is playing safety, because he's going to fucking get out. He's gone. So
I get it. We're hyping the Jets up, but I'm on the hype train.
As we are every
season. I'm leading it. I'm over here shoveling coal into the fucking flame, and I'm pulling.
We do this every year to ourselves. You know that, right?
I know.
Every fucking year.
I fucking know.
And then we'll break out the Jameson week three and want to shoot ourselves. We'll be put on a turtle suit. So we'll see, man. I got a lot of faith in the Jets. The schedule, you know, we've got some special drops today. We'll see what the schedule looks like tomorrow. And then it's just a waiting game. Then we just see what happens, man. But if the Jets can stay healthy, I got us making the playoffs pretty easy, too.
Now, do you see us winning
the division? My wife just crawled around the corner of the other room to make a face at me. She's like, "You dumb." I can see her face. You dumb bitch.
Hey, we're better than the Cowboys, who's projected Super Bowl every year, and yet you fail.
I have the volume down. She can't hear you, but I'll let her know that you're talking shit on the Cowboys.
Look, we can talk about the Cowboys season. If you want.
Hey, Jets.
How Ezekiel Elliott is no longer part of that team, and our theory was right that Tony Pollard was the better back.
I will live on that. Live on that. But the Jets play the Cowboys this year. We'll see if the Cowboys can go, you know, and keep losing for it's been 16 years. Actually, this is the 20th year. If the Jets win, it'll be 20 years since the Cowboys play, or since the Cowboys have beat the Jets.
You know what? And we're going to keep it that way. They better hope that the Cowboys play the Jets at Dallas. Because if they're in New York, I'm going to be there.
No, they are playing in Dallas this year. Sarah and I are trying to rack our brains to figure out how to get down there for the game. Because we've gone to the last two? Three. We've gone to two. We've gone to the last two, so we're trying to make third in a row that we can get to. So they are playing in
Dallas. I know I went to the Giants-Cowboys Christmas Eve. In 2018 or 19, I'll be there. If it's in Dallas, I'm gonna be there.
We gonna pay for Christy's our plane tickets too?
Shit, I know Chrissy's gonna want it. Chrissy, a Dallas Cowboy fan. I know she gonna want. We going to Dallas.
So
I'm gonna be decked out in Jets uniform. I'm gonna be shitting on Cowboys fans, literally, like.
That's now I have to go. I gotta pay big money to see that shit. Literally.
You think the Eagles Jets game we went to at New York was bad? Well, just wait.
Just wait.
You think me? Yeah.
Well, Eagles Jets are playing again this year, as are Giants Jets. I want to try and make that game. That'd be a good game to make. A little crosstown rivalry in the Meadowlands. But that's all I got for this week, man. That's all we got. You know, a more irrational Jets hype. Praying to God the Knicks don't get bounced tonight. Hatred on the Rangers. You know, the same typical shit that we always do.
Always right in our... We're literally, like, chiseling in our fucking tombstones.
Next year, it'll be our... That's what it's going to say on my tombstone. It's going to have the Jets symbol, and then it'll say, next year's our year. Like we always do. Always do. All right, brother, let me get this chopped down. What you got for the fans? Any last words?
Drink responsibly. Is that what I said?